Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've been blessed by scripture and reading and song and music. We just want to thank you for your presence in this worship experience, this temple today, this sanctuary, and in the temple of our own hearts. We want to thank you, Father, for the ability that we've had today to journey through the final week of Jesus, different parts of it, reminding ourselves that He is King, King in a different way than our world would anoint kings. We've sung our hearts out to Him, and now we come again for just a few moments to this passage of Scripture, the cleansing of the temple. And we're reminded that in that last week of Jesus, that final walk of Jesus, the temple figured pretty big. It says something about ourselves, about our hearts, where you want us to be in relationship to yourself, our ability to see Jesus and respond to Him. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever seen something or experienced something that so energized your mind that you just had to do something about it, but you didn't have time to do about it, anything about it? The hour was short, the time was gone, and you just had to get on, but what you saw, what you experienced, what happened, just filled your mind so much that when you went to bed that night, that's what was on your mind. When you woke up in the middle of the night, that's what was on your mind. When you woke up in the morning, you decided in your mind, your heart, you're going to do something about it. Maybe it was something in terms of a relationship with others, some falling out, something that happened at work, but you just knew that you had to do something about it, but you didn't have time to relate to it. But when you thought about it over the night, the first opportunity you did have something to do about it, you did. That was the experience of Jesus. The Bible tells us that after Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, the very first thing that He did was go to the temple. Now Mark tells us that when He went into the temple, He stood there and He looked around. He saw everything that was happening. All the other Gospels have this idea, the picture that Jesus rides in on the donkey, immediately goes into the temple and cleanses the temple, as if riding in on the donkey was the purpose for cleansing the temple. Mark adds the idea that Jesus did ride in on the donkey, and He did go right straightway to the temple, but it was late in the afternoon. The day was almost gone. And so all Jesus had time to do was just kind of stand around and take everything in. Now He had come in as Israel's king. And He goes to the place, the very center of Israel's religious, spiritual experience. And there He stands and He observes what goes on. If you want to know what Jesus saw, then you read what He did on Monday, the second day of His final week. What did He see? He saw hypocrites and He saw hucksters and money changers and He saw an endless round of sacrifices, thousands of animals being sacrificed and blood being spilled all over things and people being unsensitive or insensitive to the spiritual things towards which that pointed towards, the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, Himself that would die by the end of the week. Those are the things that Jesus saw. He saw the little people being squeezed out by the money changers. He saw people being abused. He saw the context of worship, the experience that God in wanted His children to have in the temple being pushed to the side as the finances was being taken care of. Before they were taken into the temple to have their sins forgiven, they were taken to the cleaners. And so Jesus, I can see Him standing there trying to control himself. And then, as Scripture tells us, the hour was late. He couldn't do anything about it on Sunday night. And he goes home. He goes to Bethany, the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. There he stays there for the night. And all night long, it's churning in his mind those images of what was taking place in his house, in his father's house. And when he wakes up in the morning, there's only one thing on his mind. And he makes his way to the temple. And as he comes into the temple, he sees it all again. And something is going on in his heart. Bruce Marciano, in his book, in the Footsteps of Jesus, where he recounts his experience of acting Jesus in those Matthew videos, he said when it came to the scene of the cleansing of the temple, he at first thought this would be a great time to display the physical strength of Jesus, because the tables that they had set up for the shoot were pretty heavy tables. But then he got to thinking about it, that maybe Jesus came to the whole event totally different, and he spent some time in prayer. And he recounts that as he came to the temple that day, acting the part of Jesus, he came up the steps, walked into the temple, his eyes riveted on a couple of the people who were sitting there by this table covered with shimmering silver. He looked them in the eyes, and then he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came in me, and I erupted. He says, I literally went nuts, in his own words. And he said, in a matter of seconds, I undid what the decorating crew had spent days setting up. And by the time I had flipped this table over and that table over and this table over and I said the things that I said, I stopped and the Pharisees and the apostles and the extras that were standing around for the shoot, as well as the cameramen, were all standing there literally frozen. They hadn't expected what he had done. One can only imagine Jesus coming in. Ellen White tells us, you see, Jesus was a known figure, and people understood the controversy that Jesus was creating. He had just come in the town the day before on the back of a donkey. The question was, is he a king? And if he's a king, what does it mean? Now he comes into the temple on Monday morning. He shows up in the temple and all eyes are riveted on him. But as their eyes rivet on him, they see something in his face that they cannot turn away their gaze. Everybody is riveted on this Jesus. And this Jesus comes into the temple and he looks them in the eye and his stare goes right, pierces right into the very depths of their soul. And Ellen White says some of them started backing away. They didn't know what to expect. But all they knew is that Jesus was here with a power that they could only recognize, but they could never explain. And then when he started to turn the tables over, they took off. They exited. It reminds me that what Jesus did to the temple was what Jesus longed to do for the people of God, who were a living temple, a community of faith. Those hucksters and those hypocrites, those money changers, that insensitivity to the meaning of the blood sacrifices was what his people were experiencing. They had lost the connection with him. They had lost the connection with deeper spiritual things. And now they were running because they couldn't understand this Jesus who rode into town as a king, and now he was exerting his royal authority at the very center of the religious and moral life of the children of Israel. He was claiming his classroom, so to speak. He was clearing his classroom out because he was going to teach the rest of the afternoon and he was going to teach the next day. There were things that he was going to say in the sanctuary throughout the rest of the week. And before he could say those things and before those things could really rivet in people's minds, he had to clear the classroom. Ellen White tells us that as some were running out, others were pressing in. They were longing to see Jesus. And after the temple was cleared, Jesus began healing the lame and the blind. And so the temple became a place of healing. Jesus had already declared that it should be a place of prayer, focusing on the spiritual dynamic, the spiritual vitality that the people of God must have, should have, if they were to relate to Him and understand who He was. So the temple was to be a place of prayer, but now it became a place of healing and renewal. It became a place of praise and singing. And that afternoon and later that week, it was a place of teaching and instruction. Moral formation, spiritual formation. And it was also a place, ultimately, a place of forgiveness. A place of atonement. These are the things that were on Jesus' mind in His final week, His final walk. How the people of God, in the very center of their moral, spiritual life and experience, how they would really be. Would they be empty? Would they be hollow? Or would they be genuine? Would there be depth? Would there be sincerity? Would there be passion? How do you feel when a baby cries out in church? You know, just starts wailing away, and the parent tries to quiet him or her down. How do you feel? You ever feel like, well, come on, get him out of here, get her out of here? You ever feel that way? Now, you've heard me numerous times say that if the baby doesn't cry, the church will die, which is a fact. How do you feel when the little ones run down the aisle here in the church? How do you feel? How do you feel when they get here behind the flowers and start tipping over the flower pots? Start pulling the petals. How does that make you feel? Does it ever make you nervous? About how it's affecting the reverence of God's house? That maybe we need to bring a little bit more control? You know, Ellen White tells us that when the Pharisees snuck back into the sanctuary or the temple after they had been driven out, they got cooled off a little bit. They got a little bit more strength, a little bit more courage, and they came back into the temple and they heard singing in the temple. They looked in and they saw Jesus healing people. They saw healed people all around. And they saw the children. The children were running around. The children were acting out what they saw their parents doing the day before. They were waving palm branches and they were singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest, Hosanna to the highest. Save now, save now, save now," as we heard last Sabbath. The children now were singing it. Some of them were asleep in the arms of Jesus. The pitter-patter at the feet of children was heard in the temple. And the Pharisees, you know, they were taking the whole thing in, but after a while they got nervous and they finally reached over to Jesus and they whispered in His ear, "Do you hear what they're saying?" And Jesus took advantage of the moment and said, "Oh yeah, I do hear what they're saying. They're saying, isn't it great? Like it says in the Psalm, out of the mouth of babes I have perfected praise." Jesus telling us something about what it means to be in relationship to Him and what it means to understand the full purpose and meaning of the temple, the religious experience that God would have His children have. Ellen White tells us that God moved upon the children to be His witnesses. God moved upon the children to witness to the authority, the kingly authority of Jesus Christ. What kind of heart does a child have? What kind of heart do you and I need to have in order to connect with the final week and the final walk of Jesus and what was really
important to Jesus. Let me read these words from Psalms 27. They revolve around the sanctuary, the temple. I hope you've picked up in the readings of this morning, the focus of this morning, revolved around the temple and its meaning, its real meaning. But here in Psalm 27, verses 4 to 8, listen to these powerful words. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. I suggest to you that that is the heart of what Jesus had in mind when He cleansed the temple. Knowing that what He was doing to the temple, He longed to do for His people. Cleanse them, so that they too would find in the house of God, the temple of God, His presence, His beauty, His protecting, healing care, and that they would hear His voice. A voice that would say, seek my face. Seek my face. The face of God would be seen from the temple that week. The theme of the temple is a reoccurring one throughout Christ's final week and final walk. He comes to observe the temple on Sunday. He cleanses it on Monday. He comes back to teach on Tuesday. He sits across on the Mount of Olives and talks of its destruction. On Thursday, when He is arrested, He says, I taught openly in the temple during the week. Why do you come to me in the middle of the night? And on Friday, in the midst of the darkness, when He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? The curtain in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, and no more barrier stood between the people of God and their redeeming God. The week ends as it begins. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey proclaimed as king, and He dies on the cross under the inscription, the King of the Jews. He begins the week by looking at the temple, understanding what's going on, cleansing that temple, and the week ends with the curtain being torn and all that the temple pointed to in terms of community with God and forgiveness of sin and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world being manifest clearly. And so the week begins or ends as it begins. And through it all are these words from Psalm. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, Lord, will I seek.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108, in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.